We'd like to thank Dean Mazzano of Top Dot Enterprises for allowing us to play this article from the latest Sound Computing magazine. If you wish to subscribe to this audio magazine, you can visit the website at www.sound-computing.com. Here's Dean Mazzano on Macro Express.
I had several things I wanted to be able to do with my computer. First and foremost, I wanted to be able to record audio streams off the internet so that I could listen when I wanted to rather than when the stream was on. The one I had in mind was the news from Martinique, where I used to live in the French West Indies. Now, of course, the news from Martinique is on at 4 in the morning my time. I didn't really want to have to be here to do that, but I wanted to be able to listen to it sometime later. I wanted this process automated. If that was all I wanted to do with Macro Express, it wouldn't be worthwhile, because there are a lot of other programs for automating the recording of streams from the internet. Total Recorder and Recall Pro come to mind as two, and there seem to be some other new ones coming along all the time. But there are other things, and I decided that what I wanted to do was, rather than a piecemeal solution, I wanted to learn one automation solution really well that I could then use for all kind of functions. For instance, those of you who know my web page for subscribers know that it's really a very simplistic page with a lot of redundancy, and it's virtually the same every time. The content changes, but the structure doesn't. So it'd be nice, since I really don't fancy typing stuff over and over, to be able to automate this process so that with a few keystrokes my page for the subscriber area is generated. I can do this with Macro Express. I also have always wanted a simple way to type foreign language symbols. I don't type in foreign languages often these days, but when I do, I'd like to be able to type accents correctly. There are various ways to do it, as with many things in Windows. Macro Express offers a simple way to set up that procedure. Macro Express is an automation program that I really like. There are several of them out there, but I just kind of settled on this one for a variety of reasons. Jonathan Mosen did a review of a program that is probably comparable, perhaps in some ways better, called Macro Scheduler. If you want to hear that review, you can go to main menu program number 28, or you can download it by typing in this URL, www.acb.org/acblive/mm284.mp3. I just didn't take to Macro Scheduler, I don't quite know why, and I did take to Macro Express. Somebody on another list told me, without reference to any of this above, that Macro Express had features that all the other similar programs didn't have. I haven't compared the programs enough to know if that's true. I do know that Macro Scheduler's interface is not as simple as that of Macro Express, the one I'm going to be reviewing. However, the programmer of Macro Scheduler is committed to making it more blind-friendly in his next release, which is certainly worth something. So, if you're in the market for one of these programs, you might check them both out. I really like Macro Express. The interface is easy, and the help file and manual is very easy to understand. The price for the two programs is about the same. Macro Express costs around $40 to register. However, it's a 30-day trial that you download. However, nothing seems to happen after the 30 days. It seems to keep on working at the time being. It's a rather multifaceted program. There's so much you can do to it, it's a little bit hard to demonstrate. I'm going to run through some of the functions, mention some of the tips that I've picked up about how to use the program, because there are so many ways to do things in it that it takes a certain amount of time to figure out how to do, and give you some examples of creating macros in the program. You can create macros several ways. You can capture keystrokes. In other words, you can set it up so that whatever you type is captured. This works really well for certain things, like typing text, running certain commands within programs. It's a handy way to go. However, you can't do everything this way. For example, you cannot use the Alt-Tab key combination to switch from one program to another. That's not captured. There's a program function to do that, as we'll see in just a moment. So that's one way you can create macros. You can also use wizards. I tend to not use wizards very much unless I have to in life. I tend to go the more direct way, but most people are going to prefer wizards, and they're very simple to use. And I'll show you one a little later on. You can also use a scripting editor, and you can enter the text of the macro directly. And those are the two approaches that I use, kind of alternately, depending on what I want to do, because they both have their advantages and disadvantages. So now in my recording program where I record the magazine, I'm going to Alt-Tab into the Macro Express Editor.
Macro Express Editor test for...
Let's silence the speech. My list, my macro file name is called test. You can have many files full of macros, and you can do all kinds of things. A macro can be something that only works in one program, or it can be something that works in all programs, or it can be something that only works when a particular window loads. So you have a lot of flexibility there. For instance, if you wanted only a certain capability in your email program that you don't need or don't want somewhere else, a certain keystroke to work in your email program, but if it was to work in another program, it might conflict. You can set the program up that way. I'm going to go into the script editor right now because it's a good place to show you the different commands that are available. I'm highlighting a macro. When you go into the Macro Express editor, you're in a list of all the macros you've created. I have one in here to type a foreign language symbol, which I'm going to show you later on how that works. Right now, I'm going to go into the modify or enter the macro directly area. Alt-Y will take me there. I could also use the menu.
Modify.
The nice thing about this is there's some nice menus that I can tell you, give you an idea of what kinds of commands there are. And as a matter of fact, there's Alt-J for the A to J menu, Alt-S, and Alt-Z are the three menus, if I remember correctly.
Action A, J, activate.
Okay, so for instance, if I wanted to, I can have my macro do any of several things with programs or documents. I can tell it I wanted to launch a program, but not necessarily make it the active window. You might want this with, say, RealPlayer sometime or something. Or I might tell it to launch a program and activate it, make it the active window. Or you might have a command that says, if the program's already running, if it's already been launched, make it active. If not, launch it and make it active. So I have several different possibilities here that I've used some of for different macros that I've created. It's a very handy feature. It replaces the Alt-Tab capability, which you just can't use. All right, let's look at the next category.
Audio CD.
You can make macros to control the audio CD player. If you're using the audio CD player that came with Windows and not using, say, Winamp, you can make macros, which means that you can give all these functions short key or hotkey combinations, more about that later on, so that it's easier to make use of them than what comes with Windows.
ASCII.
Don't know what that is. That gets into video.
ASCII file.
You can do lots of ASCII processing.
Clipboard.
You can take clipboard contents and append it to a file. You can do some nice work with the clipboard in this program.
Control panel.
You can open up a control panel program.
Date.
You can enter the date in different formats.
Delay.
A delay. Often when you're doing a macro, it's important to put a little delay in. Otherwise, the macro might go faster when you go to run it through than what your computer will allow. You know, the computer can type keys really fast, and sometimes you have to wait for the circumstances around to catch up to the keys. So you put a delay in, and that solves that problem. That's one of the things that I've learned as I've been programming these macros, is that it's important to make sure that they really work slowly enough. The computer will outrun you if you're not careful.
Desktop.
You can do some things with the desktop. Some of these functions are not as important as others. Wallpaper we don't really care about, for instance.
Dial-up networking.
You can set up, you can make the macro call your dial-up networking connection. There is an if-then possibility we'll get to in a moment where you can say if one or the other circumstance has worked out, and you can find out have the macro test for if a dial-up networking connection has been successfully completed. And if it has, then you go on with the macro. And if it hasn't, then you can go and loop somewhere else.
Email.
You can do some things with your email. Sending email.
Encrypt submenu.
There is an encryption menu for encrypting text.
Explorer.
You can launch different Windows Explorer folders.
Files.
You can do some manipulating of files.
FTP.
There is an FTP feature, however, that's one I know Macro Scheduler is better. This FTP feature in Macro Express is pretty worthless. You have to use an external FTP program.
If-then submenu.
There's the if-then submenu.
Activate.
And we're back to activate. That's the first subset of commands. They have them divided into three menus. Let's right arrow to the next menu.
Menu, key up, down, actions, K, R.
Okay, now we're in the K to R area, so you can... One of the ways to enter keystrokes is to tell it to push a key down and then push a key up. That is not always necessary, but it can be.
Load text.
You can load some text from a file into a macro.
Log file.
You can look at the macro log file or manipulate that.
Macros.
The whole list of the macros you have available you can work with.
Menus.
You can create menus of macros if you want to get really complicated with things.
Mouse.
You can use this with mouse keys, and I think, although I haven't checked it much, that a program like this may open the door for WindowEyes users. JAWS doesn't really need it, but WindowEyes does need a slight macro capability, and with Macro Express, you have the ability to actually, you can capture mouse keystrokes, so you can actually capture mouse clicks as well as all the WindowEyes functions. The only problem is any function that begins with an insert key, you'd have to remap because Macro Express or any of these programs does not have the ability to capture that those keystroke combinations that involve the insert key.
Network.
You can work on the networking situation on your computer.
Pause. Pause.
Oh, pause. I couldn't understand what that said. You can put pauses into your macros as well, and that's often a handy feature.
Printer.
You can control the printer and change printers.
Reboot.
You can tell the system to shut down or restart, which is handy. In the macro we're going to talk about in a little while here, when I record my radio program, I have it shut down at the end.
Remark.
You can put a remark in the macro so that somebody else who reads the code can see what kind of things you're talking about. What, you know, what are you going to do next? Why'd you do what you did?
Repeat.
You can actually set up repeat loops so that a macro repeats a certain number of times until a certain function is finished or until a certain function happens. The way you usually do this, or one of the ways to do this, is with variables. You can have several different kinds of variables in this program, and numerical and alphabetical variables being the two main ones.
Key up down.
And we're back to that beginning of that menu. And finally, let's look at the last set of commands.
Menu, screen, actions, S, Z.
Now you can do some screen display. You can set the screen resolution.
Size and position.
You can change the window size and position.
Sound.
You can play sounds.
Speed.
Macro speed is important. Either the keyboard speed or the playback speed is important in terms of determining how well a macro is going to work. I find the slower the better in some ways. Not totally, but it's important. Better to be too slow than too fast.
Swap file.
You can work on the swap file. I haven't gotten into that yet.
Symbols.
Symbols. This is where you enter all kinds of different symbols, and you can set up keystroke combinations to enter symbols into your text so that if you need copyright symbols or different foreign language accents, you have easy access to them.
System controls.
System controls get into program controlling this program.
Text box.
You can ask for a text box to input. Like, you can have the program ask you a question, and then based on your answer, it'll run a program or conduct something else in a macro.
Text file.
Again, more text file processing commands.
Time.
You can enter the time.
Volume.
You can work with the system volume. You can set up commands so that you have a key that will raise or lower the volume or mute the volume.
Wait.
Wait. It's important. This is you can build in long waits. You'll find out when we do the radio recording that I have the macro wait for the duration. Once it gets there and opens up the and in this case it's a real audio file, that a real audio stream that I'm going to capture, I have the macro wait until the stream is done. And it just sits there and then doesn't take up much of any computer processing power, and the stream is recorded.
Website.
You can ask it to load a website. You can also have it fill in forms on websites. They have some scripts in here for filling in web sweepstakes forms.
Window controls.
Window controls is, again, more of the same sort of thing of opening and closing and maximizing and minimizing windows.
Variables.
Variables is, again, where we get into the thing of controlling variables. I'm going to do that in my web page automation macro. At the very beginning, it'll ask me for several pieces of information in little dialog boxes. I provide that information, and it goes ahead and creates the web page for me.
Screen.
And we're back to the beginning. This gives you some idea of all the different capabilities this program has, and more than I've really looked into. Now, a lot of other programs can do these things. The thing I like about this program is it puts them all into one place. You can find utilities to accomplish many of the tasks that this program accomplishes, although I would say not all. But the fact is that in this program you have them all unified, and once you master this program and its capabilities, you have a great deal of power over your computing experience. And I'm committing myself to making that little investment, because I really think that the program is solid and it works well and it does what I want it to do. Now that I've given you some idea of what you can do with the program, I want to take you through some parts of the process of creating macros. I'm going to show you the enter directly, or if you're changing a macro, modify directly procedure, because I happen to like it better, and I think I'll show you why. The scripting editor and the wizards, however, are also effective tools, but we can't do everything in this time frame. I want to add a macro, and of course, as I say, from pretty much wherever you are in the program, you can either tab around to the different choices or use menus. So your choice of which of those you will do will depend on how far you have to tab to get there. In this case, I prefer the macros menu from the main menu.
Macros, add macro.
And that's what we want. Enter.
Add macro, place cursor.
Now, I'm going to show you what is an access anomaly of the program. I don't know that it's necessarily what I would call an access problem. Once you get used to it, it does take a little getting used to. I, and probably you, are used to when you have a set of radio buttons, choices that are mutually exclusive from one another, I'm used to arrowing up and down to see how many there are and what they are. Well, in this program that doesn't work, and the reason it doesn't is because the program figures, if you put the cursor on the radio button, that you must want to use it, and then it takes you to the next choice that radio button requires. So, for instance, what's happened here is I have been entered into the little macro launch choices. How do I want to activate the macro? I land by default on the radio button that says hotkey, and because I've landed on that radio button, I'm immediately placed into the list of hotkeys, which is very comprehensive, that I can use to activate this macro. You can, by the way, change the activation anytime you want to. In the case of the one we're going to create here to begin with, it's a time macro. I'm going to launch my radio station at the time I want so that I can record the stream, the program that I want to record off the station. And it's not that handy when you're creating a macro to make it a timed macro to begin with, because you're going to want to test it. So generally it's better to make it activate some other way, and then you can always change the activation later to a timed macro. Well, I don't actually want to use a hotkey. I want to use a short key, which is a little cryptic keystroke that I type anywhere I happen to be to launch the macro. So I have to shift tab actually a couple times.
Hotkeys radio button checked.
Now I'm on the hotkeys radio button. If I hit down arrow, the next one is short key, and I'll be immediately dropped into the edit field to put in my short key that I want to use.
Short key name edit.
Now, in my system, I have it set up, and you have total control over this, that short keys are any kind of a key combination that's initiated by a comma. So you'll never see that. You would never in a program type a key, a comma followed by a few letters. So it's a very safe thing. And in this case, I'm going to make it even safer by typing a key combination that I would never use, which is three T's. So we'll type that in. Let's turn key echo on here. I have one of the T's typed in.
Characters.
There we go.
T.
All right. Now, from here, I need to tab. The default behavior, if I hit enter, would be to launch the macro scripting editor, which is okay, and I do use it, and there are times when you'll want to, but I don't want to now. I want to use the enter directly situation. So let's tab.
Tab, scripting editor button, tab, enter directly button.
And I'll hit space.
Space. Modify directly editor short key. TTT.
Alright, and I'm now ready to start entering my commands. I'm going to either tab or use the menus again. The first thing I want to do is I want to set the speed of the macro so that the keyboard speed so that it plays back more slowly. That's just kind of a safety feature. Now, Alt-Z puts me in the S to Z commands menu.
Alt-Z, actions, S, size and sound, speed.
There we go. Enter.
Enter. Speed. Keyboard speed. Radio button check.
The first choice is keyboard speed. I don't want that. Let's go up and see what the choices are going to be.
Macro speed radio. Playback factor edit. Playback
that's what
factor,
I want.
Edit.
Playback factor, and it already puts me in the edit field. Well, in this case, that works out pretty well. When you type in a whole number here, it slows it down by that multiple. If you put in a fraction, it multiplies it. So I want to put, or actually a decimal is the best the way you do it. So I want to actually slow it down. And I haven't done a scientific study of this, but let's slow it down to four times slower. So I'll type in four and hit enter.
Enter. Modify directly.
Now I'm back, ready to enter the next command. The interesting feature here is that the modify directly, and the way these macros are saved, is in just a string of text, and it's not the handiest thing. You can edit them somewhat well, but I would have preferred that each command be on its own line. That's not the way they save their macros. All right. Now that I've got the playback speed set, this macro will begin by me launching a web page, and it happens to be a really handy, easy one. This is a an HTML address that brings up a real audio link. It brings up the real player externally, which I'm going to make use of that fact here in just a moment. I now want to tell my macro to go to a website, which actually will launch this real player link, and then I'm going to tell it to not do anything until the real player window comes up. There are probably more sophisticated ways I could handle this process with the if-then-else language, but the idea is that if the real player doesn't ever come up for one reason or another, then my macro isn't going to do anything, and I'm not going to end up recording a bunch of dead air onto my hard drive, which doesn't have all that much hard drive space. The command to put in insert a website into a macro is just that, website. So let's Alt-Z for my list of S to Z commands.
Action Z.
Start at the bottom and go up.
Variable. Window. Website.
Enter.
Internet website. Website or edit. HTTP.
And I have previously gone in, thanks to publicradiofan.com, and grabbed the address for my radio station. The great irony here is I learned this procedure only to have the Martinique radio station go down, so we're not going to use this one. We're going to use a program on KUMR in Rolla, Missouri that I happen to like, that I discovered for my hypothetical little macro here. So let's paste in the address, which didn't do anything interesting at all on the recording here. I now did it, and I hit enter.
Modifier.
So I've now got the website in. Next thing I want to do is tell the macro to wait until the window entitled Real Player appears, because the website, being a direct link to a Real Player link, is going to launch Real Player, and I want to wait until Real Player shows up before I do anything else. So again, my command to get to wait is going to bring up the S to Z commands menu, Alt-Z.
Action S, variable, window control, website, wait.
There we go. And we have various things we can wait for. Let's hit enter.
Wait for window title to appear, radio button checked.
And that's what I want in this case. So since I want that, this time it's set up differently. Let's tab.
Window title edit.
And I'm going to type in, you can type in part of a window title, or you can type in the whole title. You definitely don't want to type in something that won't show up. If I type in the word real, that'll work for Real Player.
Characters. Alt-Tab, JAWS. Alt-Tab, Gold Whip. Alt-Tab, Wait for, Window Title Edit.
So I'll type in Real.
R-E-A-L.
And hit Enter.
Enter, Modify Directly Edit.
So now the macro is going to load the web page, which will automatically launch Real Player, a nice external version of it, and it will sit there and do nothing until Real Player starts. Next thing I want the macro to do is to launch SoundForge. I've had better luck controlling SoundForge from within Macro Express than I have GoldWave for whatever reason. I don't know why, but since in this case it really does not matter, I will use SoundForge. To do this, we have to set up an activate or launch command. I'm going to assume that the program isn't already running on my system. So we have to hit Alt-J for the A to J list of commands.
Alt-J, action A, J, activate.
That's what I want, the activate list. I've got several choices.
Enter, activate launch program, window title edit.
Now, I'm already plunked into the edit field, so I have to Shift-Tab back to the radio buttons.
Shift-Tab, activate window if running otherwise launch program and activate window radio button checked.
Well, we can do that in this instance. So we have to tab,
window title edit,
and the title is SoundForge.
S-O-U-N-D, space.
That's probably good enough, is sound.
Tab, program path name edit.
Now, the program path name is a nuisance. I can browse for it. In fact, that's what we'll
tab,
do.
Tab, edit, comma, tab, program, tab, delay in seconds, set, tab, max, tab, browse button.
It's way over here to get to the browse button.
Space. Open dialog, file name, edit, aim.
Okay, now we have to play around and getting into program files and find the right path.
Shift tab, list view, not selected, graphic 223 access files.
Okay, I'm in my documents where I don't want to be.
Shift tab, look in, combo box, graphic 540, my documents, desktop, my computer, 31C.
I down arrowed and up arrowed and finally down arrowed to C, hit enter.
Enter C tab, list view, not selected, graphic 223.98 disk.
P
where? P, program
couple times
files.
To get to program files. Enter.
Enter. List view, not select S, schedule S, CRAP S, short S, snatch S, Sonic Foundry.
Bunch of stuff on my hard drive. Okay, enter.
Enter. List view, not selected graphic 223LF. Share plugin, help files, share SoundForge 5.0.
Okay, I forgot we had to go one more folder in. Enter.
Enter. List view, not select F, Forge X.
That's what I want. So now if I hit enter.
Enter. Activate launch program, browse button.
It puts it right back. It puts me back on the browse button, but when I shift tab back to the edit field, we're going to find that the whole path is going to be placed into that field, which is what needs to happen.
Shift tab, max shift, shift tab, program parameters edit, shift tab, edit combo, normal, shift tab, program path name edit, C, backslash program.
Okay, we need to listen to that. Now I'm back where I want to be. I want to tell you what else you can do in here. In this activator launch dialog box, tab.
Tab, edit combo, normal.
I can run the window. This is typical, either normal, minimized, or maximized. I want to run it maximized. Down arrow.
Minimize, maximized.
I'll set that correctly.
Tab, program parameters edit.
Any program parameters that was mispronounced there by Jaws. That means command line switches. Sometimes you'll have a program that will allow you to do this. I don't happen to have any that I want to put in for SoundForge. Tab.
Tab, delay in seconds edit, zero.
Now, I can put in some extra delays here, and actually I think I found in experimenting with this that it's a good idea to put in a bit of an extra delay. The program allows you some time before it'll do anything, before it'll assume the program is loaded. In the case of SoundForge, this process can take a while depending on whether you've loaded some of these DLLs before. There are two delays, and I don't remember quite frankly what this first one means. The second delay.
Tab, max seconds to wait for a program to activate edit 12.
I'm going to change that one to 20.
Scoop, 0. Tab, browse button. Tab, bypass file existence check. Checkbox not checked.
I have not learned what the file existence check means. That's a question to ask tech support one of these days.
Tab, OK button.
And I'm done telling the macro what to activate or launch.
Enter. Modify.
Alright. Now in my macro, I'm ready to tell it to use some SoundForge commands. I want to open a new window, so that's going to be Control N. I'll tab here.
Tab, shift, tab, control button.
And I'm on the control button, so I hit the space bar.
Space, speed, zero.
And it starts to read back by macro text, which I don't want to do. And now I just type the letter N.
N.
I'll show you now, just briefly, what this last little entry did. We are on the N, and before that we have the keystrokes, the control, which is surrounded by angle brackets, less than, greater than signs, and in capitals.
N.
So there's the N, moving back with the left arrow.
Greater. L, R, T, C, less.
So that's how this looks. So you can obviously enter that yourself. You can type in CTRL N, as long as you do it right, and as long as you make sure the CTRL is capitalized, and you have less than signs, less than greater than signs surrounding it. And when you go to modify commands using this modify directly method of entering macros, you place the cursor onto the less than sign. That's the beginning of the command. Typically the commands are surrounded by less thans and greater thans, except for actual keystrokes, which are just by themselves. So let me control end to get back to the end of the macro there. Alright, I've got the control end. I'm going to put in a delay of 1 second, just to make sure that keystroke has a chance to bring up the menu before the macro tries to do something else. So Alt-J.
Alt-J, action A.
And Y is actually the short key to bring up a delay.
Y, set delay, delay time edit.
I'm just going to put in 1.
1.
That'll give me 1 second.
Enter, modify.
And it's kind of interesting what that ends up looking like in the macro text. We won't bother looking at it. From there, I'm not going to do the rest of this on the magazine for you, but from here, we keep on putting in keystrokes. We have to put in Control R and then Alt R to record, and then I tell the macro to pause for the length of time of the program. So the macro just sits there once we've started recording. Then once the pause is over, we tell SoundForge to stop recording, save the file, give it a file name that I put in, shut down Real Player, shut down SoundForge, and I can even go so far if I want to as to shut down the computer with the whole shutdown sequence, which is kind of nice. In a nutshell, that's how I recorded my timed macro for capturing my radio station and recording the stream. Now let's talk about the symbol and accents that we talked about. I'll show you how I create that using a wizard, and then how I use it, because it's really kind of clever, I think. And I'll use a wizard this time, so Alt-W for the wizard's menu.
Wizard, text and clipboard submenu. Type text and keystrokes. Paste text or type a symbol.
All right, I want to type a symbol. And I want to create a macro that will generate... Oh, which symbol? Doesn't really matter which one we choose here. Let's use the E grave in French.
Quick wizard. Type symbol.
E-umlaut.
Now, we're in a list of symbols, a multi-column list of all manner of symbols, and you can hear by the pitch of this one that we start out in the capitals. It's that nice high pitch. So I want to arrow to the right until I get to the small letters.
O acute, U circumflex, A tilde, E umlaut.
All right, now I'm in the E's. That's good. Let's up arrow and see if E grav is there.
E circumf, E acute, E grav.
All right, there we go. E grav. Very good. Enter. Now, since I'm in a wizard, it's a little bit easier to do some of these creation steps. Let me look through this dialog box.
Back button. Next button. Cancel. E-grav. Back button. E-grav.
Okay, that's next the symbol button. I want. So let's hit the next button with a space bar.
Cancel. Hotkey radio button check.
Now, this time it's easier to choose the activation method. I want to choose a short key again.
Short key radio button checked. Back button.
And that's all they do in this step. Then we hit the next button with a space.
Short key name edit.
I'm going to make this one EG, so that comma EG will launch the EGRAV, since I have my short keys set up to be activated by comma.
Back button. Next button.
Tab.
Cancel button. Playback in all programs. Radio button check.
Now, we have these choices of activation. Do I want to be able to play this back in all programs or just one? I'll leave this one set to all programs.
Back button. Next button. Macro nickname edit.
Now I can give it a nickname. I might as well give it EGRAV.
Back finish button. Macro Express Editor Test 5101114:09M. Add macro button. Alt.
Now the macro has been set up. The only thing I need to do is I need to make one change, and I'm going to go into the scripting editor for this.
Alt-Q.
Let me get to my list of macros here.
XG.
There we go. I've hit down. Now I'm now pointing to the EG macro, and I'm going to hit Alt-S for the scripting editor.
Macro scripting editor short key.
I need to make a change here that changes the default behavior, and I'm going to explain this because it gives some more power to the program. Ordinarily, I have this program set up, and this is a choice I make under options, that with short key macros, the string of text that tips off and launches the macro isn't wiped out. That works for me because of the kind of macros I'm doing. This, however, is one case where I want the comma EG to go away. So I have to go in and change an option and tell it to tell the program to erase those characters. Often you don't want to do this. For example, if you're on the web and you've got some short key macros set up, you can't backspace in Internet Explorer, because if you backspace in order to wipe out those characters, you're not backspacing at all. You're going back to previous web pages. So you have get another little customization option that gives this program some power, but you can change it on a macro by macro basis. And here's one case where I want to change it. Now, with my preferred macro, my little EGRAVE macro highlighted, I'm going to go into the scripting editor. I could do this in the modify directly area as well, but I'm not sure why I don't actually. But okay, so Alt-S.
Alt-S.
Now, Control-Tab will take me to the other page in this dialog. We've been in the page where we list all the commands. The other page lists is the sort of the activation and properties page for the macro. So Control Tab, which isn't echoed. Now Tab.
Tab activation tab.
Not going to change that.
E-grave.
We have our nickname.
Tab global radio button checked.
It's a global macro. It doesn't just launch from one program or one window. I can do it anywhere I want to.
Tab none radio button checked.
You can make these short key macros very case sensitive. I didn't do any of that.
Tab do not remove keystrokes type checkbox checked.
This is one of these funny double negative things. I want do not remove keystrokes not checked, which means that they will remove the keystrokes. So I hit the space bar.
Not checked.
Space.
Now,
tap, okay,
I go to the OK button because the default button here isn't OK.
Space
bar. And I'm done with this. Now I'm going to shoot over to Eudora, and I happen to have a short key, Control-Alt-E, to do that, and it'll take me there even though Eudora is already open.
Alt-Control-E, no reason.
And I'm actually in a message because I've been playing with this. I'm in a blank message right now. This is just a good place to do this. I'm going to type the word frère, which is French for brother, and which has an E accent grave in it.
F-R. Comma, E, G, R, E.
Now I'll hit the home key, and we'll see if F is the first character. I'll right arrow.
R-E-R-R-E.
The E-G is all gone, and I have it replaced with a perfectly accented word. Finally, a word about my web page creation macro to make my nice, simple web page for each issue. You can have three different types of variables in this program, of which by far the most useful for me is text variables. And you can have, I don't know, 99 of them in each macro, if I can't remember, some very large number. And they're numbered TVAR for text variable, 01 through on up to as high as you want to go. Well, as some of you know from previous issues, I create my web page using a program called NoteTab. And so what I do is I launch the macro, and the macro asks me for the content of the variables. So what's variable number one? Well, as it happens, the way I have it set up, variable number one is the calendar, month, and year for the issue. So we have, you know, April 2001. Then I write my web page in NoteTab the way I would ordinarily write it, except that instead of putting in some of the information, I put in, at the appropriate time, all caps, TVAR, followed by a number. So, for example, when I'm running the web page, and you may know this or you may not, the title tag is title. You put less than title, and then you put whatever the title is, and then you have less than slash title to finish it. So I write in note tab, less than title, greater than, sound computing, comma, percent sign, all capitals, TVAR01, percent sign, less than slash title, greater than, and that, then, when the macro runs, it's substituted by April 2001. And then, of course, next issue, when I run the macro and it'll ask me for the variable, I'll put in June 2001, and so on. So it automates the process of building the web page. And I have variables in there for the title of the issue, the little three-character code that I use for the file names, and the titles of each of the articles. Takes a little entering the variables to begin with and little dialog boxes that aren't actually as well labeled as I'd like, but once that's done, the page is built flawlessly. I hope that's given you an idea, relatively more or less coherently, of the capabilities of Macro Express. You can get the program from www.macros.com. It's also available on the CD of speech-friendly shareware, freeware, and demo programs. I like it. I think it has a lot of utility if you want to take your computing to the next level of automation.